Good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Nedarim Daf Pei Vav. We are holding on Daf Pei Hey Amud Beis toward the bottom of the page. V'chi Amra Hachi, four lines from the end of the page. As we get ever so closer to the end of Maseches Nedarim, today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children, and Leila Nishmas' mother, Golda Bas Simcha Leah Shalom. Also by Yael and Yosef Gervich, in appreciation of their children's Rebbeim and Marot. Also by Rabbi Meir Bruckheimer, in honor and appreciation to the shiur, and in commemoration of the yahrzeits in Teves of his mother, Rachel Bas Yisachar Zuchar Lebracha, and his wife, Hindel Bas Eliakim HaKohen Zuchar Lebracha, and Nesham Hashem Aliyah. Also by David Hamm, in honor of his wife Margie, whose birthday is this week, a whole week of celebration. Also for Refuah Shleima for Esther Bas Sara by the Lightman family, and also for Refuah Shleima to our dear friend Shmaryahu Ben Rezel Shoshana Miriam, Refuah Shleima Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. So while we started the discussion yesterday, we got pretty deep into the discussion yesterday about the stira within the shita of Shmuel, because Shmuel paskind like two different Rabbi Yochanan. He paskened like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and he paskened like Rabbi Yochanan a Sandler. The problem was that in one instance he seemed to be paskening that a Dover Shaloba Liolam is not an entity, and in the other instance he seemed to be paskening that it is an entity. Meaning in our Mishnah we were talking about taking a neder, a woman who takes a neder about her Maisi Adayim becoming Aser to her husband, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said that the husband has to be Mefir the neder. Apparently, because Shmuel holds that a person could be Maktish, a Dover Shalom Al Yolam, a person could make a neder that's going to be Chal on a Dover Shalom Al Yolam. Yet, on the other hand, Shmuel also paskins, like Rabbi Yochanan, a Sandler who holds, Eino the Maktish Dover Shalom Al Yolam. So we have that stira in Shmuel. Can one or can one not be Maktish, a Dover Shalom Al Yolam? So yesterday we had three ways to resolve that stira. The third of which was that which Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua said, that in the case of the Shmuel is of course Moda, that a person cannot take a neder on a Dover Shloba Liolam, and the reason the woman has the ability to aser her Maisi Adayim is because it's not a Dover Shloba Liolam, it's a Dover Baliolam. She's not answering her Maisa Yadayim. She's answering her Yadayim. Yadayim la'oseyan. That was the third answer that we left off with yesterday. So the Gemara is going to make a new Kimta where the case is that she says she's being Maktish Yadayim la'oseyan, but only l'chimigrisha. That she means to say that not that she's being Maktish them right now, she's being Maktish them for when she gets divorced. So the Gemara is going to try to compare the case of a woman being Maktish her Yadayim la'oseyan l'chi migrisha to a case of being Maktish a field that's not really in her Rishus currently. And the Gemara is going to have four different possibilities of how to compare being Maktish Maisa Yadeha after she gets divorced to a case of being Maktish a field. Meaning, what would the parallel case be exactly? So we're going to have four different possibilities, and that's pretty much all of Amud Aleph, is trying to figure out what the parallel case of being Maktish Yadayim Lo Seha, L'chimigrisha, would be in the world of a field, of being Maktish a field. And then, on Amud Beis at the very top, the Gemara is going to suggest a fourth way to resolve the stira between Shmuel and Shmuel, between his paskening like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and his paskening like Rabbi Yochanan a Sandler. And then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss three cases of a neder bitaus, or a hafara bitaus rather, where a husband is made for a wife's neder bitaus. So because he was unaware of some detail of the neder, so we're going to have three different examples of a hafara bitaus that is an invalid hafara. So let's begin again. We left off at V'chi Amra Hachi. So the last thing we had said was that Rav Huna Brei Rav Yeshua resolved the stira within Shmuel. Does Shmuel hold that you can or cannot be Maktish Adavar Shaloba Liolam? And we said that Shmuel of course holds that you cannot be Maktish Adavar Shaloba Liolam. You cannot take a neder on Adavar Shaloba Liolam. A woman cannot take a neder to the that her Maisi Adayim that she has not yet produced are going to be asr. That's a davar shelov al yolam. Aye, what's Shmuel saying? That we paskin like our Mishnah, that you do have to be made for such a neder, if you can't be, if such a neder doesn't work. No, our Mishnah was talking about not that she was makdish, davar shelov al yolam, that she's makdish maisi adayim that she hasn't yet produced. Rather, ba'omeris yikadshu yodai la'osehen, that she said she's being makdish for yodayim. Her yadayim are ba'olam. The yadayim are isnu ba'olam. It's just that she's being makdish them in vis-a-vis the ma'isi yadayim that they're going to produce. So it's frak the Gemara v'chi amra hachi, when she says such a lashon of yikdashu yaday li'oseyan kacha, does that really work? Is the hektish going to be chal? V'mishabdan yadel lebal. Right now she's mishubedes to her husband, so she can't be makdish at all. She should have said that she's only being makdish her yadayim when there's no longer a shibud to her husband. But so long as she's still meshuba to her husband, how could she even be makdish yadei lo seim? The Ran points out that this is assuming even if you hold the person could be makdish or davar shelo bal yolam, you still would need to say beferish that the hektish should only be chal when at a time that it will be bal yolam. Meaning, let's say a guy wants to convert, he wants to become Jewish, and he wants to be mekadesh an isha, a Jewish woman, right? So he wants to get married to a Jewish woman right as soon as he converts. So right now that he's still not a Jew, he wants to do the Maisa Kedushin. So he says, Harea Mekadesh Asli La'achar She'ezgayir. I want you to be Mekadesh to me for after I convert. So in such a case, you can do it, but you have to say it beferish. That's what the Mishnah says in Maseches Kiddushin and Daf Samach Beis. So based on that, the Ran explains over here that the Gemara is going to go on to say that, yeah, the woman says that the Hektish should only be Chal after she gets divorced. And that's why the Gemara says, yeah, now I understand how Adam Makdish Dover Shalom Bel Yolam, but the Sugya still doesn't work if you hold Ein Adam Yachal Akdish Dover Shalom Bel Yolam, because this isn't really talking to the issue of being Makdish Dover Shalom Bel Yolam. Rabbi Kiveger in Maseches Ksubos just raised a more fundamental question. Why doesn't the Gemara pose this challenge of Chiyamra Chikodshov Mishabdin Yodel Lebal, she's Meshubah to the Baal, on Rav Huna Bridge of Yeshua, meaning Rav Huna Bridge of Yeshua, when he initially gave the answer, I'm sorry, why does it only ask on Rav Huna Bridge of Yeshua on this third answer of Yikdashu Yadai Loseyan? The Gemara could have asked this on Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri himself, who holds that the husband has to be made for because Shami Yigrishena, and then the neder is going to be chal. How could the neder be chal? The woman never said that the neder should be chal only after Gerishin. So the Rabbi Kiveger writes that this din that the Ran is saying over here, that even if you hold that a person could be makdish shadavar shlo b'liolam, you need to be mefaresh that you're being makdish for a zman, that it's actually able to be chal, is only in a situation where the simple understanding of the person's words is that you're being makdish it right now. So there's something external holding back that from being chal, because it's eino ba'olam. But when you are masna merosh, when you made it very clear from the beginning that the hakna'a or the hektish should only be chal at some later date, la'achar shloshim yom or something like that, and right now the item is not perushu, so you don't need to be mefarish that it should only be the hektish or the mechira or whatever should only be chal likesha ekchenu when you then have it in your rishus, because you already said that it should be la'achar shloshim yom. So la'achar shloshim yom, we'll see if it's in your rishus, and if it is, then it's going to be chal. So the according to the svara of the Gemara that the woman was makdish only her maisi yodayim and not the yodayim themselves, you have to say that she intended to be makdish lizman shahayu ba'olam, and then she's already going to be megureshes. So that's why she doesn't need to be mefaret and say that she's being makdish la'achar gerishin. But once Rav Huna answered that she's makdish yodeha lema'aseyem, then she needs to be mefaret that she only means la'achar gerishin. So anyway, again, bottom line is, Rav Huna ben Rav Yeshua had given this answer that she's not being makdish shalom b'olam, she's being makdish yodeha lo oseyan. So says Mar, it still shouldn't work because she's meshubedes to the husband. answers the Gemara, Da Amra L'chi Migrasha. That really, it's not that she's being Makdish her Yadayim right now, she's being Makdish her Yadayim for after she gets divorced from her husband, and at that point, they're not going to be Meshuba to her husband anymore. So, in fact, the Gemara, that's great, but Hashtamiyas Lo Migrasha. Right now, they're not divorced. How do I know that such a lashon is going to work? Meaning, even if she's makdish her yadayim themselves, and therefore you don't have a problem of lo bali olam, because the yadayim are bali olam. But right now, she's mishubedas to the husband, and she can only be makdish them for after gerushin. So isn't that a chisaron of lo bali olam? Because the matzav of after gerushin is lo bali olam. So true, what she's being makdish is already bali olam, her yadayim. Dayim are bali olam, but her ability to have any for that to have any impact is lo bali olam. That can only have an impact after she's divorced, and she's not divorced. So isn't that still weiter a problem of lo bali olam? So Rabbi Ila suggests maybe we can compare this to the following case, that really, in a case where a woman is maktish, yadayim lo'osehem, there's no chisaron of lo bali olam, even though right now, those yadayim are meshubados to the husband, and it's only going to work la'achar shetiskarish. But maybe, says Rav Ila, since her yadayim are completely in her rishus, even though whatever she produces with those yadayim are meshuba to the husband, but her yadayim are in her rishus, maybe she is able to be makdish maisi yadayim that are going to come from them. And he says, because I'll tell you what we could compare it to. Uma ilu omer lechavero. What would be the din if you have a person who wants to sell his field to his friend right now and then to buy it back from the guy at some later date? So before he sells it in the first place, he says to his friend, Sadezu shani mochalech, this field that I'm about to sell to you, likasha echenimimcha, when I turn around and buy it back from you, taktish, I'm making it hegdish. So milo kacha, doesn't that work? The hegdish, of course it's going to be chal. It's interesting, Rav Ila doesn't quote a Mishnah, he doesn't quote a Braisa, he just says, of course, this is just obvious, that he assumes that misvara, of course it's going to be chal. That if I own a field right now, so right now I'm the owner of the field, I could be maktish it for not now, for after I sell it to you and then buy it back from you. That's when the hegdish is going to be chal, even though this field is about to leave my rishos. But since right now it's in my rishus, I could be makdishit legabe yizman later on that it will be in my rishus. So maybe the same should be true when it comes to the isha, that since her body is in her rishus, she could be makdish the maisi adayim relating to a zman where the maisi adayim are going to be something that she actually gets to keep. The gerishin, after the gerishin, when the maisi adayim are actually going to be hers. So Rabbi Yirmiyah says, nah, that's not a valid comparison. Masra Rabbi Yirmiyah, mi tami. You can really compare a case of a woman being makdish yodeha la'oseyem la'achashar gershena for after the divorce to a case of a guy who owns a field right now and is makdish it for when he buys it back. Midami, sada zushani mochalach. Even though the sada is going to leave the rishus of the mocher, hashta biyadehi. Right now, it's still in his rishus, and therefore he could be makdish it even the gabe dizman that it's going to come back into his rishus. But isha biyada lahakdish maisi yadeh. Does a woman have the ability to be makdish or maisi yadeim right now? It's meshuba to the baal, and therefore she can't be makdish even the gabe dizman that's liachar gerishin. And if you want to compare, so if you want to make some comparison between the case of an isha and the case of a sada. Holo dummy Ella, I'll give you a second way to compare it that's more accurate. You know what it's comparable to? Ella l'omer l'chaveiro, a person who already sold his field. I already sold my field to somebody else. Now I go to the guy who I already sold the field to, and I say to him, Sadazusha mecharti l'cha, likasha ekhena mimcha taktish. This field that you own right now, because I already sold it to you, when I buy it back from you, I am hereby declaring it hegdish for the moment of when I buy it back from you. So mi kacha, you think it's going to be chal in such a case? In that case, it's obvious that the hegdish is not chal, because right now the field is not in his rishos. That's the parallel case of an isha. So don't tell me, Rav Ila, that the case of an isha being makdish yadayim lo sehem for when she's after divorced is comparable to being makdish a field that you own right now and you're being makdish for when you sell it and then buy it back. It's not true. It's much more comparable to a case where you already sold the field and you have no capacity to be makdish it for when you buy it back. So this woman should not be able to be makdish her maisi yadayim in such a case. That would be the more apt comparison. So says Gemara, Maskefla Rav Papa. So Rav Papa rejects Rabbi Yirmiyah as well. He says, no, a woman who's Makdish Maisi Yadayim is not similar to a case of being Makdish a Sada that you already sold and you're being Makdish it for when you buy it back. No, Rabbi Yirmiyah is correct that you can't compare an Isha to a Sada She'em Karlach. I agree with that. You can't compare an Isha to a field that I still own that I will one day sell to you and buy back from you because the Sada right now you own completely, whereas the Isha, her Maisi Yadayim are Meshubah to the husband, but Midami Gabizvina Psika Milsayu, but you also can't compare it to a case where the guy already sold the field, because when you sold the field, that's it. You have no Rishus over it whatsoever. It belongs to the other party. So of course you have no rights to be Makdish it. Gabi Isha Mi Psika Milsa, but when it comes to the Isha, her Guf is Birishusa. Her body is in her rishos. Her hands are going to follow her for the rest of her life, hopefully. Right? Meaning her maisiyah, so her yadayim are hers. So it's not like a field that you've already sold to somebody else. So therefore, Rav Papa says, if you want to compare the case of an isha to a field, I'll tell you what to compare it to. A third possibility of what to compare it to. Holo dami ela la omer lechavero. It's similar to a case of a person who borrowed money from his friend. And instead of paying back, he gave a mashko. And he said, if I don't pay it back, you can keep this field as a mashko, and you keep it as a collateral. If I don't pay it back, you keep it. If I do pay it back, I get my field back. So he says to his friend, Sada zusha meshkanti lucha, the field that I gave to you as a mashkon, likisha efdena mimcha, taktish. When I am pulled it from you, then it should become kadosh. So milo kacha. So in that case, the hekdish is going to be chal, because at the time that she gave it as a mashkon to the malva, the karka remains in the rishos of the lova, and therefore he's able to be makdishit legabe azman that he's already pulled it, and it goes back into his rishos. So the same should be true by an isha, that since her guf is in her rishos, she should be able to be makdish her maisi adel legabe azman. That's Le'achar Gerushin. So there is a parallel case by a field, and the parallel case by a field, everyone is trying to say that there's a parallel case by a field, and that should be instructive as to whether a woman can actually be Makdish Maisi Yodeha for after she gets divorced. The first possibility was Rav Ila thought, oh, the parallel case of a field is clear, it's a slam dunk that you're able to do it, because the parallel case of a field is where you own the field right now. So we rejected that, because the woman is Meshubedes to the husband right now. So the second thought was, no, it's a slam dunk in the other direction. The parallel case of a field should instruct us that absolutely not, she has no right to be mentioned. It's like something you've already sold. So we said, no, the woman, case of the woman is not really exactly like something that you already sold. So now the third possibility is that the parallel case of a field should tell you that the woman does have a right to be makdish yodeh lo seyem. It's not a case where you own it fully, and it's not a case where you don't own it at all. The parallel case of the field is where you've given it as a mashkon. And when you've given it as a mashkon, you have the ability to be makdish it for when you are poda it. So says Gemara, still not a great parallel. Maskefla Rav Shisha Bereda Ravidi Midami. How can you compare the case of the mashkon to the case of the isha? Sada biyado liftoso. When you gave a field as a mashkon, you always have the ability to be poda to it. You could return the money that you owe, and then you automatically, it's totally in your control that you'll get the field back as soon as you pay back the money. So because you have total control over whether you're going to get the field back, yeah, you could be makdish that field, because it's totally biyado. But isha, biyado liskaresh, does a woman have control over whether she's ever going to not have her maisi yadayim be meshuba to the husband, have her yadayim be meshuba to the husband? That only happens if they get divorced. That's not totally up to her. It's not up to her at all. That's up to the husband. So since she's not in control of that situation of affecting the gerushin, so maybe she should not be able to be makdish her maisa yadayim. The Ran raises the question. It's true, she's not in control of being miscarriage, but that's not really the issue over here. The issue is she in control of regaining her maisa yadayim? So gerushin is one way to regain her maisa yadayim. Husband dying is another way. Okay, so that those things she's not in control of. She's not in control of a mother's fachayim is not nitan biyada, and gerushin is not nitan biyada. But there's another way that she can regain her maisa yadayim. The Gemara Maseches Ksubas tells us that a woman can say eini nizones v'eini olsa. I hereby forego my rights to mizonos from my husband, and therefore I'm going to keep my maisa yadayim. So isn't she in control of that? That's the sheet of Rav Huna Maseches Ksubas. And that's what we pass in La Halacha. So shouldn't a woman be able to be Makdash Maisi Adah even if she didn't say it, because she's in control that she could say it? So shouldn't that be comparable to the case of the Mashkon? So the Ran raises that question. And he says that this sugya is assuming the woman asks on her husband not only her Maisi Adayim of Tzemer, but Maisi Adayim of any Malacha that she does within the house. Cooking and laundry and things like that. And that a woman does not have the ability to say Enizonos Veniosa. Enizonos Veniosa is she happens to have a knitting business where she produces whatever. She knits scarves and hats or whatever. So that's something. So that she can say Enizonos Veniosa. But basic household chores that a woman is supposed to do within the household to keep the household functioning and running, she's not allowed to say Enizonos Veniosa. And even if the husband doesn't provide her with mizonos, she's still obligated to do those things. And the Ran says, I'll bring you a raya that that's the case. That this woman is assuring on herself all of the malachos of the bayis, because the sheet of Rabbi Yochanan Nuri in the Mishnah is that the husband could be mefer. Why? Because if they ever get divorced, he has to be able to. He wants to be able to remarry her. And if once they get divorced, this neder is going to be chal. He'll never be able to remarry her. Why? You can't marry a woman who doesn't knit scarves. I mean, what would be the problem of getting remarried if she can't do some external maisei adayim? No, but it must be talking about where the maisei adayim we're talking about is the kind of maisei adayim that's basic to the functioning of a household, and that he's never going to be able to avoid getting hana'a from something she cooks, from something she launders, from something, so that it would make life unlivable, make it then. So the Ran says, that's my raya, that's the kind of maisei adayim that we're talking about, and that kind of maisei adayim, she's not in control of whether she's mishubedes to the husband, that she's absolutely mishubedes to the husband. Tosfos and Maseches Ksubas asks the same question that the Ran asks, and Tosfos says that the Gemara is trying to be miyashev the Mishnah, even according to the Shita of Reish Lakish, that a woman can't say any nizonos v'niyos. Okay, so that's a simpler teretz, but doesn't, more balabat, meaning not like it doesn't give you a yesod. It just tries to say, yeah, we're trying to satisfy all the opinions of Maseches Ksubas. Okay, so now, unlike the previous rejections of the comparisons between the Isha case and the case of a Sada, of being Makdash Sada, where the each Amora is disagreeing with the din that the previous Amora said, right? Meaning each time we said the first suggestion of Rav Ila was, oh, this is just like being Makdash a field that you fully own right now. So then the next Amora came along and said, not true. Rav Yirmiyah said, it's not like being Makdash a field that you fully own right now. I say it's similar to the opposite din. Being Makdash a field you don't own at all, which you can't do. And then we said, no, it's similar to being Makdash a mashkon, which you can do. So each one kept flipping back and forth. Can the woman? Can't the woman? So now this rejection is just a rejection related to how to set up the case, but it's not a rejection of the halacha. I mean, the halacha we accept. You're right that when a woman is makdash maisi yadayim in a certain set, you're suggesting it's like being makdash a mashkon, which you can do. I agree it's similar to being makdash a sada that you're allowed to be makdash. I just think that we need to tweak the case a little bit. It's not being mocked like being mocked as a mashkon. Halodamia ella la omer lechaver. You know what it's more comparable to? It's like saying to someone, sadazu shemashkanti lecha le'eser shanim. It's like saying to someone, this field that I gave as a mashkon, as a 10-year mashkon. That meaning there's a time limit when the mashkon runs out, when I know for sure I'm getting it back. When I redeem it back from you, when I get it back, I want it to be kadosh. Milo kacha, certainly that works. And therefore, by the Isha as well. So, whereas Whereas, who was it? Rav Papa had said that, you know why the woman is able to be makdish ma'isi yadayim for after she gets divorced? Because it's just like a case of a mashkon. So Rav Shisha Bar Dravidi says, it's not just like a case of a regular mashkon, but I agree. I agree it has some basis in comparison to some case of a mashkon, and therefore she can be makdish. And I agree that she can be makdish the ma'isi yadayim. But it's just not like a case of a mashkon that has no end to it, because the mashkon that has no end to it, the woman has the person whose field it was has the ability to undo it and to get it back, whereas the woman is not beyond the liskarish. But it's more like a comparison. It's more comparable to a case of a mashkon that has a 10-year time limit where you're able to be makdish, even though it's not 10-year time limit, 10-year minimum, that it's a mashkon, you get to keep this mashkon for 10 years, and I'm only able to be poed to the mashkon after 10 years. So there you have a case where you can't do anything about it. For 10 years, you're locked in, you're not able to do anything about it, and nevertheless, you're able to be makdish. Mimela, the same is true by Anisha. Even though she can't do anything about it, she can't get divorced, it's not in her control, but nevertheless, she can be makdish, her ma'isi yadayim. So Rav Ashi rejects that which Rav Shusha Ben David says, that a woman who's makdish ma'isi yadayim is similar to being to the mashkon, to the 10-year mashkon. Maska for Rav Ashi, mi dami. I reject this comparison as well. Hasam kits isha mi isle kitsusa. No, in the case of a 10-year mashkon, there is a time that will come where you will regain control. Yes, I gave you the field as a mashkon, and I'm not allowed to touch it for 10 years. But in 10 years from now, then I will be able to regain control from it. So then I'll get it right back. But Isha Miyisla Kitusa, there is no time limit of when a woman is going to gain control over her ability to get divorced. She will never have control over her ability to get divorced. That's not up to her. So it's still not a valid comparison. And therefore, just because you could be Makdish, a field that you gave as a Mashkun for 10 years, does not mean that the woman could be Makdish, her Maisi Adayim. So therefore, if you're keeping track of the whole sugi over here, we're back to Akasha. How can a woman be makdish ma'isi yadayim when she's still married to her husband? If you hold the ein adam yachal makdish dovah shlo b'liolam, that you can't be makdish dovah shlo b'liolam, she's mishubedes to the husband. So don't tell me, we've been spending the whole daf saying, no, the case is she's makdish yadayim lo seyem for after she gets divorced. It doesn't work because she's not in control of divorce. So what's the case where her being makdish, her ma'isi yadayim, is going to work? If you hold davar shloba that you can be makdish davar shloba liyolam. So says Mara, okay, back to the drawing board. We need to come up with another yishuv for the stira in Shmuel. Does Shmuel hold that davar shloba liyolam is something that you are in control of, or does he hold something you're not in control of? Ella amar avashi, a woman can be makdish her yadayim l'aseim even when she's under her husband's control, and even according to those shittos that a person cannot be makdish davar shlo b'liolam. You know why? Shaini konamos dechi kedushas haguf dami. That the din of a konam, where you can take a neder and ask for something that's meshuba to somebody else, it's like kedushas haguf. It's like making something kadshim mizbeach. And therefore, just like when you're makdish something to the mizbeach, and that thing that you're makdish to the mizbeach is meshuba to a bal chov, the hekdish is mafkia, the shibud, it overrides the shibud. So to a konam has the ability to override the shibud, and therefore the woman can aser with a konam on her husband her ma'isi yadayim already right now, even though her yadayim are meshubadim to the husband. Yeah, there's a shibud to the husband, but a konam has the ability to override a shibud. How do I know that just like kachim kedusha saguf, kachim mizbech has the ability to override a shibud? Where do I see that a kachim mizbech has the ability to override a shibud? Look at the Rava. Dam Rava, hektish, chametz, v'shichrur, mafkin, midei shibud. That there are three things that can override a shibud that you have to someone else. Hektish, if a person is makdish a shor to the mizbeach, and that shor is meshuba to a bal chov, the hektish is going to be chal, and the malva has to collect his chov from somewhere else. And we don't treat it as if you stole that shor, and therefore it's possible for a carbon. You didn't steal it. That shor was meshuba to someone, but by making it hektish, that shibud on that shor goes away, and the shor is perfectly good to be used on the mizbeach. Tosas Maseches Ksubas and Tesan Bey says, I have a great idea then. Anytime you don't want to have to actually have a shibud, just be makdash everything. Meaning every love that could ask is the chasav, mean not be makdash. Makdash, you won't have it. Make it a konam. If a konam can override a shibud, just like hekdash can override a shibud. So if I have my house, is that you have a lien on my house that that you're going to collect it. If I don't pay back, the bank will collect my house. If I don't pay my mortgage, I can say, my house is a konam to you. That's it. Then it's mafkia the shibud. And now you're not going to be able to collect it. So isn't that like ridiculous? A person it takes away the whole the teeth of any shibud. So Tosa suggests that just like the chachamim were machzik the koach of the baal not to be mafkia, that the woman should not be mafkia the shibud, they're machzik the koach of the baal chov not to be noel delas bifnei lovin. Meaning ein achnami, it would work, but we make certain takanos rabbanon to protect baalei chov. So we make takanos that it shouldn't actually work, but in principle it works. So and the other example, the other two examples were chametz. Let's say Yisrael is mishabed is chametz to a nachri. As soon as the Zman Nisr Chametz comes, so it's Pokeh the Shibud. The Chametz becomes Asr Bahanah, like a Chametz Shal Yisrael. And even though the Gemara in Pesachim, the Aflam and Beis, Ron points out, the Gemara in Pesachim says that if a Nachri lends money to Yisrael, and the Yisrael is Meshabed his Chametz, the Chametz is Mutter after Pesach, that's only where the Yisrael actually brought the Chametz to that Beis of Shal Nachri, to the Nachri's house. So then we say it actually belongs to the Nachri. But so long as you didn't actually deliver the chametz to the Nachri's house, and there's only a shibud on it, so as soon as Pesach comes and it becomes aser, so that's mafkia the shibud. You could destroy the chametz because the chametz becomes aser. And shichur, if a person is meshabid his eved to a bal chov to pay back a chov, and then he's meshachar the eved, so that shichur is mafkia the shibud, and the malda is going to have to collect from somewhere else. He's not going to be able to collect from that eved. So in this way, Rav Ashi is miyashiv the stira in Shmuel, that according to Shmuel, you cannot be makdish, you cannot aser a davar shlo b'liyolim. Davar shlo b'liyolim is not here, and therefore you don't have any rights over it. And that's why he paskins like Rabbi Yochanan Asandler that a husband cannot be makdish the moser maisi de ishto that he's going to be zoche in after she dies, because you can't be makdish a davar shlo b'liyolim. However, when a woman is makdish her yadeha l'ma'aseihem, since her guf her yadayim belong to her, and the husband only has a shibud in them, she's able to be mafkia that shibud of the husband with a konam, because a konam is a din of kachem mizbeach, and that's why he paskins. That's why Shmuel paskins like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that a woman who asers her maisi adayim on her husband, the husband is going to have to be made for that neder, because maybe they can get divorced, and it's going to be aser for him to remarry her. So, frak the Gemara ihachi lamali shemi grashena. But if that's the lumdus over here, that a woman is able to be mafkia any shibud she has to the husband by use of a konam, why does Rabbi Yochanan Nuri say that the reason the husband has to be mefer is just in case they get divorced, that he should be able to remarry her? He could have said that the husband could be mefer because already right now he becomes asur b'maisi yadeha, meaning a konam overrides. Konam overrides a shibud, so right now already he's asur b'maisi yadeha. So why would you have to say, oh, because if they get divorced and he wants to remarry, yeah. So says Gemara, you're right. Tani va'od shami agrishana. That really Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is saying two things. Number one, the husband should be mefer since she could asur it already right now. She could asur b'maisi yadeha him right now because a konam is mafkia mide shibud. And number two, even if you're going to say that the chacham are machzik the koach of the baal, that the shibud will not be mufka through a konam, which is a takana d'rabbanan that we might put in place to protect him, that even though a konam should override a shibud, maybe the chacham put a takana in place, just like we mentioned before. Tosa said that the chacham will put a takana in place not to be noel delos b'fnei lovin, that if a guy lends money, that even though a konam should be mafkia the shibud, but we'll make a takana to protect the person. Nevertheless, there's still the possibility Shami Yigrashana and he'll want to remarry her. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan Nuri is saying both of those things. So yeah, that's why the husband has to be made for the neder. Period. That's the hard part of today's daf. So now says the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us three cases of a hafara b'talus, where a person does a hafaras nadarim on his wife, but he didn't realize there was some sort of mistake that he made. So case number one is nadra ishto v'savar shenadra bito, or nadra bito v'savar shenadra ishto. His wife took a neder, he thought it was his daughter that took the neder. neder, or his daughter took the neder, he thought it was his wife that took a neder. So that's a ta'us. The Ran writes that they, how did he mess that up? That they told him, your wife took a neder, and really it was his daughter that took a neder. They were mata him. They told him the wrong information. The Ritva says, no, it could be that he heard it with his own ears. He was standing in another room, and he heard a feminine voice say a neder, and his wife and his daughter, every time they answer the phone, people say, oh, is your mommy home? And he says, oh, no, I am the mom. Right? They always get confused. They have the exact same voice. So when he heard the neder, he thought it was his daughter. It was really his wife. He thought it was his wife. So that's where you have such a case. The Shittim Gvetzis writes that that's a greater chiddush, that even if he was miscaving to be mefer the very voice that he heard, meaning he heard the voice, and he wanted to be, but he just couldn't identify who that voice belonged to, that's also called a neder b'talos. The Ran also writes in the name of the Tosefta that this Mishnah is talking not only in a case where it was he was made for a neder b'talos, but even if he's mekayim a neder b'talos, that's also not binding. The hakama b'talos would also not be a hakama. So even though the Mishnah only mentions hafar explicitly, the assumption is that hu hadin when it comes to hafara. It's interesting. The Chassam Sof points out the Mishnah didn't think to talk about a case where a guy is married to two women and he thought it was one woman and it was really the other woman. It only discusses bito ishto or ishto bito. Okay. So anyway, so that's one case of talos. Second case of talos, nadra b'nazir. A woman was a mekabel nazirus on herself, and mela she became usher in eating grapes and drinking wine and any grape products. The sabr should not be carbon, but he thought that she took a neder that she's not going to have grapes and wine, that it should be usher to her like a carbon, but not that she actually became a nazira. Or nadra b'karbon, the sabr should nadra b'nazir, or vice versa. She took a neder that she's not going to have grapes and wine, and that's going to be like a carbon to her. And he thought that she was really taking a neder nazirus. Third case of a ta'us, nadra mi te'enim. She took a neder ana'a from te'enim, the savash nadra min anavim. And he thought that she had really taken a neder from anavim and not from te'enim, from grapes and not from te'enim. The preacher raises the question, why does the Mishnah have to tell me that the afar is not chal mishum ta'us, but lav hachi, it's not going to be chal, because generally speaking, you need to be mefarit the neder. You need to, in order to be matir a neder, you need to be mefarit the neder. So how could it be that the afar would have ever been chal? Of course it's not going to be chal. Forget about the ta'us element of it. You have to say what it is. So obviously, if he thought that it was ta'inim and it's really anavim, or vice versa, no one was ever mefarit it to him. So if no one was ever mefarit it to him, so of course it's not going to be chal. So the preacher says, no. You only need to be mefarit. It's a big yisod in halacha. You only need to be mefarit when it's nidre mitzvah. When you take a neder for a mitzvah, so then you need to be mefarit the neder. That's the story I've told many times, where I had a Talmud that called me up. He was married for, I don't know, 7 years or something, and he said that he had just lost his job, and when they originally got married, his wife's kala teacher said that every time they have tashmish amita, they should give money to tzedakah afterwards. So he said he's been giving $50 for tzedakah every time they've had tashmish amita. Now he just lost his job, which means two things: that he has more time on his hands, and it means that that he has less money on his hands. So now he can't afford this. This. So what do I do? So I got to do hataras and darim, but you have to be mefarit the neder because it's nidre mitzvah. It's weird, but it's nidre mitzvah because anytime you're going to give tzedakah associated with anything, if you say that I'm going to give $50 in tzedakah every time I scratch my head, that's also nidre mitzvah. So you have to be mefarit the neder only by nidre mitzvah. Over here, she decides she's not eating te'enim. That's not nidre mitzvah. It's just stam and neder. So you don't need to be mefarit the neder. The Shach says a little differently that this din that you need to be mefarit the neder is only by hataras chacham. It's not by hafaras habal. Hafaras habal could be even without a pirut of the neder, even without specifying the neder. So that's how this case could happen. So anyway, that's the third case in the Mishnah, that she's nadra mita'enim, and he thought she was nadra min anavim, or nadra min anavim, v'savash nadra min hata'enim. So in those cases, there's a question why the Mishnah has to give all three cases. That he made a mistake about who the woman was that took the neder, wife or daughter. Second case was he made a mistake about whether it was the refrain grain from grapes and wine was nezirus or some other type of neder, and where he didn't even know what she was trying to refrain from. Why does he have to mention all three? In Tiferes Yisrael, it says that it's lozu avzu. Not only if he made a mistake about who it was, that the hafara is not going to work, even if the mistake was only about the sug haneder, and even if the mistake was only between te'enim and anavim, the hafara is not going to work because he was made for the wrong thing. So in all these cases, he's going to have to do another hafara because the hafara was done totally betotus. The Meiri writes that if a person heard that his wife took a neder and he said yafa asis, good, great going, or any other lashon that would otherwise normally be interpreted as hakama, but he didn't know that that lashon is mekayim the neder. Now, he wasn't intending to be mekayim the neder. He's just his, he was always told it's good shalom bayis to always encourage your wife. So she took a neder, and he's like, great job, honey, because that's what he says about everything she does. But he didn't realize that that counts as a hakama. So then he can't be made for the neder. That's then it's already, even though he didn't know that it's a hakama, but what he was actually doing was a hakama. So it's irrelevant whether he knew that that counts as a hakama or not, and therefore he cannot be made for the neder. That's what the Shulchan Aruch Paskins in Yerodei Reish Lamadalib Sif Chav Beis in the name of a Tshuvas HaRashba. It's interesting, there's in a Drasha Saran, based on this Mishnah, the Mishnah says he doesn't know, was it his wife or was it his daughter, that the hafar is not going to be chal. Drasha Saran says the same is true by bracha. If you give a bracha to one person and you thought it was somebody else, the bracha is not going to be chal. And Drasha Saran says, so how did the bracha that Yitzchak gave to Yaakov work? He thought it was Esav. So the bracha shouldn't be chal. So he has a whole discussion where when the bracha is given b'nevuah, it's not Yitzchak giving the bracha. Hashem is just speaking through Yitzchak, and Hashem knew exactly who the bracha was going to. But that's the nature of nevuah. Okay, we'll stop there. But Hashem will pick up with the Gemara at the bottom of the page tomorrow.